Welcome to Speak Your Success with Jonathan Jones. And today we have an amazing segment. And I'm just going to go ahead and get into our guest intro today. Darian Irison holds a bachelor's degree in movement science with a minor in Africana Studies from the University of Pittsburgh and a master's degree in exercise physiology from the University of Central Florida. Irison was recently named the coordinator of player development for the North Carolina Central University football team after serving the past two seasons as a volunteer strength and conditioning coach. In this role, his primary responsibility is to enhance the student-athlete experience through holistic programming and initiatives. Additionally, Irison works full-time as a certified personal trainer with over 20 years of training experience in North Carolina, Florida, Georgia, Maryland, and Virginia. Irison works with a diverse population, including everyone from children to seniors, as well as fitness beginners and weekend warriors to professional athletes and collegiate football players. Irison is certified by the International Fitness Professionals Association with a nutrition and corrective exercise specialization and is also certified as a Pearls Depression Intervention Counselor. A Raleigh resident, is happily married to Kimberly and is a proud father of a three-year-old daughter, Kyron. In his spare time, he enjoys traveling, reading, cooking, talking to friends and family, and working out. Coach, welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing great today. Thanks so much for having me on.
Excellent, excellent. Glad to have you. Glad to have you. And just with, you know, the experience that you have and just with all the work that you've done. Coach, I want to just kick it off and just hear a little bit more about your background in fitness. Like where did this journey start and what was it that really piqued your interest to want to go deeper and to be 20 years in the fitness at this time?
Well, honestly, growing up, I was always just captivated as a little kid of just like the human body and fitness. And when I was a kid, I used to watch on ESPN. They used to have these like bodybuilders and bikini models on the beach working out. And so I remember like my eighth birthday, my mom got me this little sand weight set. And then as I got older and started playing high school sports and everything like that, I was not, you know, the best athlete naturally. So I was always trying to find ways to find an edge. And mm-hmm. So I delved even a little bit deeper into fitness. And I just even knew before the merits that it had on your mental wellness, that it was just always just a safe haven and a sanctuary for me. So as I got to college and I was trying to think about what I wanted to major, and that was just the natural next progression to kind of major in movement science.
Okay. So movement science, and you said that you saw it as a safe haven for you. Talk a little bit more about that. What does that mean in terms of safe haven for you?
Well, for me, I just realized at an early age, before I understood the scientific effects of it and everything like that, that I just felt better when I worked out. And then growing up where I was living in Pittsburgh in the high school years, there was a lot of gang violence happening in the mid-90s in Pittsburgh. And so I was kind of a smaller guy. So I felt like one of the things that kind of mitigate some of the bullying was to have bigger muscles. And it was a kind of another thing, too, because I played football and was trying to, you know, get bigger, faster, stronger. So all of those things kind of gel together. And I just think throughout the history of my life, I've always caught I had different, like, you know, I always question my why, like why fitness? And at different stages of life, you know, you exercise for different reasons. You know what I mean? Early on, it was just to prove my athletic and performance. When I got into the industry as a trainer, I'm in a very cosmetic field. So people immediately evaluate your, you know, ability based off of how you look. And now, as I've had a child just a few years ago, as I age, I want to be able to still play with her and be agile. And you know what I mean?
For sure.
And age gracefully.
For sure. So looking at you now, being a father, being a black man in America, and I know you just talked about how when you worked out, you would feel great. So you had that reason for working out, but then also you said it was a safe haven. So can you talk about the correlation? Because I know you have, just like we talked about before, you have you're certified through Pearls as a depression intervention counselor. Can you talk about the connection between mental health and fitness?
Absolutely. I think one of the things that oftentimes we kind of compartmentalize, like our head is, you know, but our head's connected to our body. So like if we're not well physically, you know what I mean? It's going to affect us mentally and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So I think the two piggyback off of one another. And I think just, you know, with the release of endorphins, our bodies are meant for movement and serotonin level. That's just a natural. I mean, there's a lot of studies that prove that exercise 2 to 3 times a week, whether it's resistance training or cardiovascular training, has the same effectiveness of taking Zoloft in numerous studies.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I think when I got into dark places, especially particularly my freshman year of college, I went to school in West Virginia. That our last camp right before the school year started, I broke my leg. So I was going to be a medical redshirt. At that point, I was isolated from a lot of my teammates. I didn't have to go to practices anymore. And this is before the times we had a lot of the support staff and, different strength and conditioning specialists that we have now to kind of, and so I was isolated. So it took me down a dark path of doing things to kind of help try to, get away from, escape some of the sadness and loneliness and isolation that I was feeling.
Understood. So just looking at that, can you just share with us just a little bit about, with what you've seen through the work that you've done with working with your athletes, also working with the clients that you also work with, that it's said, and I've also seen it, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but within the Black community and our understanding or our awareness of mental health, I would say it isn't as respected or as of late that there's been an increased awareness in the Black community. However, we still have work to do. Like, can you just speak to what you've seen around mental health in the Black community and the progress we're making or opportunity that there is?
That's a great question, Jonathan. I think one of the things that I've noticed is that growing up, it was like stigmatized, right? Mm-hmm. And for many different reasons. We had the Tuskegee experiment where Black people were told they were getting a cure for syphilis and they were just used as guinea pigs and getting this placebo effect and ended up, so there was a distrust there. Two, there's not a lot of mental health counselors, who look like us in mm-hmm. that space. I think we represent maybe 2 to 3% of all, mental health, when I say like psychologists or psychiatrists nationwide. So sometimes, if people don't look like you, that you don't feel like they have the same level of empathy or training to be sensitive, the culturally sensitive issues that we may face that are a little bit unique. And so I think that, and then two, being in a gladiator sport, football is just a super macho sport where we're not supposed to show vulnerability in playing. And I think now, I've noticed it in the past 10 years where it's become a little bit more normalized. Now, one of my players who was at UCF when I was a graduate student there, Brandon Marshall, he became kind of one of the flagship people kind of talking about his associative identity disorder because he was struggling with some, mental health issues that, caused him to, have some erratic behavior and everything like that. And I think we're starting to shed a light on it. And it's not as much of seen as a pariah, but I think it still needs to be a little bit more normalized now. And up until recently, I didn't even feel comfortable disclosing my struggles that I had with them. But I realized that, God has taken me through some dark and painful situations to help be a light to someone else, to help share that with some of my players so they don't feel as ostracized.
Do you want to feel confident in your skin every day? Introducing Skin Rituals, a luxury home-based skin studio that specializes in hyperpigmentation, acne, and personalized treatments for every skin type. Owned by solo esthetician and registered nurse, Courtney Durham, Skin Rituals is all about curating facial treatments designed just for you. Hydrate, brighten, nourish, and soothe your skin with expert care and cutting-edge techniques that promote natural healing. Whether you're looking for a relaxing facial or a transformative chemical peel, Skin Rituals offers results-driven treatment tailored to your needs. With over 7 years of experience, Courtney's goal is to help you safely achieve the healthy skin that you deserve. At Skin Rituals, we believe that taking care of your skin is an investment in your confidence. Book your appointment today and leave every session feeling grateful for the choice that you made to take care of yourself. Skin Rituals, because your skin deserves the very best. Yeah, so by you being in a position to where, just like you shared a little bit earlier with us about you being in that dark spot, and then now after you've been able to come through that and now even having the ability to be vulnerable with your players, can you talk a little bit more about strategy, right? So in terms of if maybe somebody is in a dark place, or maybe they might have a friend and they're a part of a team, and they're seeing that there's been a shift in behavior for the the norm of this individual that they know? Like can you share some strategy with us or a way that we can begin to give them support?
One of the things that what I like to do is just kind of do a wellness check with my guys. And if I see them, their energy level's different at practice or in the weight room. And then I talk to our support staff, our coaches. So our athletic trainers, their position coach, and say, hey, I noticed something's going on with so-and-so. You know, has he talked to you about anything? Or I even go up and pull him aside after practice. Like, hey, man, I've noticed that, you know, you've been a little bit more subdued lately. Is everything okay? And, you know, and sometimes they will open up, or I'll talk to a couple of their guys who are close to them and just say, hey, keep an eye on this guy. Something seems to be off. And as a matter of fact, my first season with North Carolina Central, we won the Celebration Bowl and against Jackson State. And we were at the Atlanta Mercedes-Benz dealership stadium. And mm-hmm. after the game, when I was waiting for the players to come out, one of the parents, he came up to me and gave me a big hug. He said, I just want to thank you. And I'm like, for what? He was like, you know, my son has been through a lot. He said he lost 5 of his friends that he grew up with in Durham this season. Wow. And that was just starting to take a toll on him and everything like that. So I knew to kind of, I knew because I had already monitored his social media that I always saw like these rest in peace posts and everything like that. So I kind of knew to already be alerted to him. But he's like, you don't know how much is you being there for him. You know what I'm saying? Someone to talk to like made a difference. And so we just try to use a all hands on deck approach. You know what I mean? If I notice something that's off, I'll talk to our strength coach who sees the guys, has hands on all the players, their position coach, and just try to come up with a plan to really help them.
Okay, so having all hands on deck, now I want to transition and talk a little bit more about the football. Because, Coach, you were volunteering for 2 seasons, right? And a lot happens in 2 seasons. You're seeing the ups, the downs. You're seeing relationships, breakups, people having good seasons, bad seasons, like all of these things. What kept you around for you to say, you know, I'm still in. I'm locked in with these guys. I want to continue to make sure to serve them and make sure that they're holistically developed as an individual. What kept you in the game, Coach?
That's a great question. I think once, you know, I moved to North Carolina a couple of years ago, my wife said, hey, babe, this is your last shot to kind of pursue this dream of you working back in college athletics. She said, I don't want you to wait 20 years from now and look back and say, should have, would have, could have. So it was just like an act of faith that I started reaching out to all the local schools. And I think, you know, I had a couple conversations with some Power 5 schools, but North Carolina Central presented me with the best opportunity. And I think the first day I went there to observe, I went to observe a workout, and I just saw our strength coach. His name is Thomas. They call him T.C. Carroll. And he's just like, it was just unmatched, his energy, his passion. And I was just like, wow, this is what I've been missing in all my life. And I just saw how all the players responded to him and everything like that. And from day one, I was hooked. And as you obviously spend more time helping develop the guys and see them go through their metamorphosis as like shy kind of freshmen to seeing them score their first touchdowns and, you know, do well academically and make a successful transition after each, you know, each season, I would talk to my wife like, hey, babe, are you still okay with me doing this? She's like, you know, this lights a fire under you. I haven't seen you this passionate. And you know, one of the things you heard this, I think there's a statement that, you know, you hear growing up, if you find what you love to do, you'll never work a day in your life. Mm-hmm. Every time I kept going there, I was like, wow, I'm getting more. This is feeding my soul more than it is like, you know, than what my vocation does at this season of my life. And I said, it might be unorthodox, unconventional, but I said, I need to find a way to stick around. And so after the past 2 seasons, this summer, I just realized the trajectory of being a strength conditioning coach. I said, all the different kind of moves that I might have to make laterally and, you know what I mean, with the family now, it was like not really, I couldn't see how it could make sense. So I talked mm-hmm. to our strength coach. And he said, hey, I want you to, you know, talk to our head coach, Coach Oliver. And he had seen me around the program for 2 years. He was gracious enough to say, hey, I said, I love what you've done with this program. You brought it to national prominence and everything like that. And I said, yeah, I love what you're doing. I feel like I can enhance in this area. And I just felt like a lot of the soft skills that I developed professionally and just my life experiences would be a great fit for me to work in player development.
So, you know, you getting into the player development role, coach, I want to just hear more about, like, what are the things and the initiatives that, like, you all have going on? Because we're talking about holistic development, right? Which is developing the whole person. Like, can you just share a little bit more about, like some of the programs? Cause I saw that you were working with you're working with your guys to, for the first day of school, and I saw you getting them set up and getting them ready to vote. Like, talk a little bit more about, you know, some of those initiatives you all have going on.
Yeah, one thing that Coach Oliver really emphasizes is that, you know, it's larger than a game, serving our larger purpose. So some of the things that we've done is, so we just try to get the kids out into the community, making an impact on the community. Because one of the things I've realized since I've been in this role, these young kids in the area, they look at these football players as like they're superstars. And I just realized the impact that we can have on the next generation. And I really believe, I'm a big proponent of each one teach one. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you can plant a seed in someone's life, either through your actions or through your words, and change the trajectory of their life, I mean, there's a quote by Jackie Robinson that says, "A life is not important except on the impact it has on others." And I think that we can actually, you know, we're serving our larger purpose. So some of the initiatives that we've done is, like, as you mentioned, we went to a middle school, like a few days before their first day of school, we did a backpack giveaway. We interacted with some of the students and some of the parents. Then a couple of days later, we went to Durham Head Start, which is a preschool, and just kind of high-fived the scholars on their first day of class. And it just, you can just tell that the kids, they were kind of nervous and a little sheepish about leaving their parents. But as they were walking through the line, they would high-five my players. We're having a great time and just creating the excitement. And, you know, just last week, we did a financial literacy seminar where a woman from a credit union came and gave us a training first. And with the middle schoolers, we just kind of helped plant seeds and helped them figure out, like, budgeting tips and stuff like that, and gave them hypothetical scenarios. Like, if you were a family of two, this is your income. And those are things that, like, you know, you don't really realize when you plant a seed how that can really change. And I was just amazed at how those kids were very, they just had a lot of wisdom beyond their years as far as, like, not buying the name brand clothing because there's, like, it doesn't make sense. If, you know, my kids are going out and grow these clothes, it's like, I didn't have that mindset at, you know, 12 or 13 years old.
Yeah.
So those are some of the type of things that we do in addition to, you know, wanting to bring in some different speakers to talk about leadership. And last year I was able to bring in a media relations consultant and a former award-winning journalist who did a communication training for the guys and talking about how to handle the press and how to, you know, what's things they should or should not post on social media, and just how to even handle difficult interviews and different things like that. So,
yeah, coach. So one coach, I'm grateful that, you know, you all took the time to walk them through that financial literacy. Cause even, you know, me now 36 and we have a 19 month old baby boy. And, you know, that budgeting is still a real thing, and how to handle debt and, you know, making those real life decisions. Okay. Do I buy the clothes, the shoes, or, you know, do I put this on my bill to make sure we have electricity and Wi-Fi and the lights are covered and everything like that? So, I mean, you know, like these things are essential. But you said they had the opportunity to learn more about communication. Coach, I want to hear a little bit more about this, especially now as we're looking up and they have athletes that, you know, that the NFL is talking about, should they start to ban press being able to interview these guys in the locker room after the game, and NCAA athletes are, you know, now people are putting mics in their face, and whatever these people say, they're expecting their word to, you know, be like the law. Like, can you talk a little bit more about that, like about that communication? Like was there anything that you felt was really, really, really beneficial that somebody out there listening who, you know, is not on your team, but somebody out there listening could benefit from in terms of communication with the media?
Yeah, just thinking, just to be very careful of how you answer questions. And if you're, you know, obviously, like, sometimes they might try to egg you on to throw a teammate underneath the bus, you know what I mean? And different things like that. It's just how these different things will follow you. Even the types of questions that NFL scouts ask when they're coming to ask about a player, they want to know. And so, like, even if you put something up on Instagram and you delete it off your story, someone screenshot it. And here you go. You go from being a potential, you know, a first round pick to sliding and costing yourself millions of dollars going into the, you know, fifth round because of something you did in an emotionally volatile state. You know what I mean? Or just being immature. So I think just being aware of the certain things that you can do, because now we're in an era, Jonathan, where everyone has a camera phone. You know what I mean? Athletes 30, 40 years ago could get away with saying some things because it wasn't being shown on all different media outlets on ESPN. You know, I remember Kevin Winslow back 20 years ago when he was at the University of Miami. He said, "I'm a soldier," or something after a game. It was really bad. And this was during Desert Storm, and he got a lot of heat from that just because they're like, people were like, "Oh, you're not a soldier. That's, you know, you play college sports." So just different things like that, just helping them be more mindful and just realizing that the platform they're on and how things can follow them.
For sure. Okay, so being mindful, now I want to come back and talk a little bit more about holistic development. What is your philosophy when guys come on campus and then you're taking a step back and saying, okay, I understand all these guys are not the same, but I need to make sure that they are at least introduced to the same level of development? Can you break that down a little bit, Coach?
Great question. One of the things that I talked to our head coach about this summer, he said, "I really want you to focus on my freshmen, because those guys typically have the biggest challenge transitioning to life and being a pro, what we call it, you know, showing up on time, being where they're supposed to be, and also developing self-advocacy, because at that point, for this first 17, 18 years of their life, their parents have been involved in a lot of the decisions that they've made. So just helping them transition to becoming men. So one of the things that I did with my first intake is I had them write down their goals academically, their goals athletically, and told them my expectations and the type of resources that I would provide for them. So it's just talking to them about, like, hey, what are your interests in community service? What do you want to major in? What do you want to do? Getting to know the guys so I know certain pain points and touch points and just know different things about their personalities so that I can effectively, assist them along the way. You know what I mean? And it's just amazing, to your point, out of the 23 to 25 guys in this cohort, all of them had different personalities, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I have to kind of reach each one of them individually. And one of the things that I've loved about our community service initiatives is that it gives me an opportunity to see them in a different setting outside of the weight room, outside of practice. And so I'm able to, like, oh, this guy, he's Mr. Personality in the locker room, but I take him around middle school kids, he's super shy, and you know what I mean? How do I help him break out of that and use his light to, you know what I mean, have that same type of confidence in this setting, different things like that. So, you know, I just kind of tell him these are the things that we want to do throughout the course of the year. Giving them lessons about how to be a pro. You know, some of these guys, they show up, you know, right when the workout starts and they get kicked out of their workout. And so they're like, "Coach, I was on time." I'm like, no, being on time means being late, because we preach, one of the things that we preach constantly is how you do some things or how you do all things. So the details matter.
The details definitely matter. And Coach, one of the things that we oftentimes hear is education or exposure is the great equalizer. So with you working with predominantly young Black men, can you talk about how you're specifically exposing them into newer opportunities to where that they're prepared for what's next, right? Instead of them getting to the opportunity to where it's done, but to where they're actually prepared for what's coming next.
Yeah, I think, you know, a few weeks ago, we played Norfolk State in the Circle City Classic. Mm-hmm. And one of the things is we had a luncheon upon arrival at Lucas Oil Stadium and everything like that. And so there was a luncheon there, and there was some talking around the table. Some guys didn't know what forks that they should use and, you know, proper dining etiquette. And I said, this is an opportunity for me to teach them right now, because there will be a point in time where they will be with, you know, around some donors or some major stakeholders and on an interview, and someone's going to judge them based off of, you know, their etiquette, so different things like that. So those are teachable moments for me. I'm trying to think of another example that kind of, but, and then after that, we had a career networking seminar, and there was just, I was there just kind of watching how the guys interacted with the different business companies that were there, Eli Lilly and different things like that. And I heard the dialogue, and I said, okay, maybe next time, I liked these things that he said, but his body language is a little bit off. So that's something that I can help teach him on. So when he does actually go for the career speed dating that I'm, you know, trying to organize in the spring semester, that they're already prepared for that.
Excellent. Excellent. Those of you are watching out there, don't go anywhere. We're going to come right back with Coach Irison as he's going to share a little bit more about NIL in the HBCU space. Are you a new or budding entrepreneur looking to set your business up for success? Profit Mode is here to help you navigate your entrepreneurial journey with expert education and services. From tax planning and bookkeeping to selecting the right business structure, Profit Mode has you covered. They'll even educate you on how to properly set up your business for building credit so you can grow with confidence. Profit Mode's mission is to provide you with the tools and guidance you need to establish a solid foundation for your business. Whether you're just getting started or you're ready to take the next step, we're here to support your goals. Let Profit Mode help you turn that entrepreneurial dream into a reality with the knowledge and services to back it up. Your success starts with the right foundation. Contact Profit Mode today to get started. Welcome back to Speak Your Success. And if you have not hit that subscribe button, go ahead and hit it so you'll get all the latest updates and all the videos as soon as they drop. Now we're back with Coach Irison. And Coach, as we've been talking about holistic development and been talking about the way you've really been developing and molding your young athletes, I want to talk with you just knowing that NIL is something that's blown up across the collegiate landscape. I want to just hear from you. What have you seen with you being a part of an HBCU football program? What have you seen in the NIL space that applies to your collegiate athletes?
I think one of the things that is that we see that there is a disparity between opportunities at HBCU schools versus PWIs, okay? And one of the things that we can really focus on is controlling the controllables. So we try to help our guys develop their own personal brand and then just help them build positive relationships with people in the community and at the school. And what I'm trying to do personally is leverage some of my own personal relationships of people I've grown up with the school with who are business owners or have companies in the area to help develop that relationship. And then, you know, if I have a guy who's a stand-up guy who I know is willing to do the work, I'm more than happy to make those connections to help them get the same opportunities.
I love that. So, okay, so building up their network and then also, you know, helping them build and develop their brand. I love that, Coach. Excellent. Coach, now I want to hear a little bit more about you. Like, what are your personal goals, right? Because you've already been 20 years in the fitness industry and you've been pouring into these young men at NCCU. Where are you going, Coach? What you got cooking up?
You know, that's a great question. This is something my wife and I talk about often. I really love what I'm doing here working in football. And I also do love fitness. And, you know, I go through different phases in my life with it because I've been doing it so long. It's like, oh, I'm over it. I'm burnt out. Then something reignites my fire. And I think I'm enjoying that component of it more because I'm able to, you know, scratch my itch working back in college athletics. But I do have a desire to kind of move up the ranks and work in, you know, at a Power Five school and eventually move on in the career as however the career directory looks, whether it's in the NFL league office at some point. You know, obviously I'm doing this on a volunteer basis and I can't do that forever, you know what I mean? But we've been able to, you know, do the things. So that's kind of where I see myself in the next, you know, 5 years.
I love it, Coach. I love it. Coach, now we're going to get ready to go ahead and wrap this thing up, put a bow on it. And the way I always like to end the show is I like to have our Dear Student Athlete segment. And this is the opportunity for you to just speak directly to a student athlete, right? If there is a tip, a resource that you would like to give to a student athlete, that's the whole purpose of this segment. So, Coach, now I'm going to kick it to you. And this is Dear Student Athlete. So what do you have to share?
I think my nugget of wisdom that I've learned over the course of time is building relationships with people. Everyone who you come into contact with, whether it's at the dining office, whether it's your position coaches, athletic trainers, strength and conditioning coaches, because I feel like, at least in my industry, it's a very relational type of business. And you don't realize that the relationships that you develop now, they can help you. You know what I mean? If people think highly and well of you, or they could hinder you. So, perfect example, I have a good friend, a buddy from college named Sean Robinson. He was a football player, University of Pittsburgh. He started an organization called Orange Arrow, which is a nonprofit player development program with, he partners with different districts. And what he wants to do now that he knows that I'm doing this, and we weren't great friends in college, we were associates. But now he knows the work that I'm doing at North Carolina Central. He's like, wow, I've already expanded to University of Miami, University of UCLA. You know what I mean? He's like, I've seen the work that he's done and the impact it's had on the community and everything like that. So I just think of someone who was an associate in college. Now, 20 years later, we're trying to partner together to bring it to, you know, to North Carolina Central and allow it to have, you know, a generational impact on not only our guys, but the kids in the surrounding area. So I guess to button it up is just to say to build relationship with people and get out of your comfort zone and continue to grow.
Awesome. Awesome. I love it. Coach, where can people find you, follow you, and connect with you? Please go ahead and share that.
Okay. On Instagram, I'm DI_fitness01. On LinkedIn, you can find me at Darian Iverson. And on Facebook, you can find my business page at DIFitness01.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Coach, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for your wisdom.
Thanks so much for having me. I enjoyed it.
Excellent, excellent. This is Jonathan Jones with Speak Your Success. And as we always encourage you, to speak your success, believe in your greatness, and continue to create the life and business of your dreams. Why would you and why should you live any other way?